experts on this field about my research, which is about 3D printed facades and how to characterize them from a thermal and, of course, optical perspective. So why am I even doing this? Of course, the background is the role of facades in the overall decarbonizations of buildings. And facades play a big role not only on the energy demand, but also from the embodied impact side. And in the last 20 years, I guess, we've seen a very big shift from conventional systems to more sophisticated and complex ones, like these ones that you see over here. But let's say the construction principle has never really changed, in a sense that we're always building facades with this layer approach of different functional parts assembled together. And we are wondering if there are alternative approaches that could be competing and even overperforming this state-of-the-art facades in terms of performance, but also maintenance and ultimately environmental impact. And so we're looking especially into 3D printing as a fabrication technique to kind of rethink facades. And there's many opportunities related to this. One of these is this possibility of mass customized buildings. So basically, you can create climate specific design at no additional cost, so they can have tailored properties. Another one is, of course, the possibility to create very complex geometries, which means that we can optimize for a certain performance, but also integrate different functions together. And finally, it's an additive process, so we have minimal material waste. And if we think about monomaterial component, they must be very easy to recycle. So that's a little bit the opportunities. And here in my research project, I'm focusing on understanding the relationship between performance, geometry, and fabrications in these facade systems, focusing on thermal and solar aspects. And my main research is about coming up with modeling approaches for performance assessment and integrating this performance evaluation into the design process. So for this, I work, let's say, using a multi-scale approach where I look at the different dimensions where some physical effects occur that impact the performance of these parts, starting from the material side where the material choice and the fabrication influence the performance, and then going to the component when it's more about geometry and how you design this geometry to get certain performances and physical effects on a multi-physics level. And finally, to the building scale, where all these phenomena from the material and component scale come together and a representation is needed to understand the performative potential of these new systems. And so jumping to the material scale, we started a little bit our research by looking at the different optical properties that we can obtain in 3D printed parts. Here you see two samples, very different, but it's the same material and the same printer. So basically what is changing here, it's the fabrication parameters that they were printed with. The speed, for example, the temperature, the way it's cooled, and also like the layer height. And basically, we wanted to look a little bit more into it, so we designed an experiment where we fabricated different samples with different fabrication parameters. And then we observed that basically what is really changing with the optical behavior is the morphology of the layers. So you can see over here the first very clear one with high transparency. The interfaces between the different layers are very regular. There's no air inclusions like on the bottom one. And so we saw that there's this relationship between the morphology and the printing parameters. And so we wanted to test what this meant in terms of quantifying the optical properties. And we did this with the HSLU, with Lars and also Steven, trying to measure these samples with a goniophotometer. So we found out many different things, but the bottom line is that the 3D printed layer texture causes this upward and downward scattering that you can see there on the top right. And this depends also on how the layers are oriented. So on the bottom right and on the top right, you can see the difference according to the orientation of these layers. And then, of course, if you look at the bottom, you can see that for clear, very clear high transparency samples, there's this angle dependency and this cutoff angle on transmission at around 30 degrees, which depends on the layer dimensions. So once we observe this behavior, we thought, okay, can we actually replicate this behavior with simulations so that whenever we come up with other layer heights, layer ratios, we can actually bypass the experimental study? And then how can we use this material description for performance assessment on a component scale? And finally, what happens in parts that are made from multiple surfaces? Because now I just showed like a simple flat sheet, but of course these facades that we are designing are composed of different surfaces. So starting with the first question, we started by looking into how to replicate the data-driven BSDF with GenBSDF, and I chose to model like in Rhino, like a very clear sample that we measured. And you can see here that in the microscope picture, you would have these very cylindrical layers, and you can see that between them there's not really like an interface, so they behave mostly as a monolith. So we modeled it as a dielectric material, and then we compared the results. So now I'm just showing transmission versus incoming elevation angle. You can just focus on half of it because the system is symmetric by design. And we can see that we can get quite close to this behavior. We recognize this cutoff angle at around 25, 30 degrees. And so this was basically interesting to see that we can go quite far with replicating the experimental results. But of course, there are many things that you cannot really see with simulation. So this worked for a perfectly printed geometry, but it can happen that there are gravity-induced deformation, especially like depending on the printing settings that you use. And of course, the print can be faulty. There can be this fabrication-induced microstructures like air inclusions and similar things. So of course, to look into this into this aspect, one would need to 3D scan the printed geometry. It was done in another study on 3D printed glass, but for the smaller scale defects, then one would use more accurate scanning techniques like computer tomography. But anyway, like this was kind of encouraging, and then we asked ourselves, okay, what happens then on the component scale? And of course, like with being able to print these very crazy geometries in a way, comes also a lot of complexity. So for example, this prototype, the main design intention was to have like an outer and an inner shell, and then within a kind of infill structure that would provide thermal insulation, but also structural stability during printing, but also as a facade component. And then the skin on the outside is made in such a way that we create different surfaces oriented in different ways, which means they will have different properties in terms of transmission and blocking. And so this was quite complex to start with. So for all my modeling studies, I simplified the geometry a bit, which still maintains this outer and inner shell with an infill geometry. And so how do we model this optical interactions between the surfaces? So the thing I've done was to start with the true to reality geometry, which is basically a full component with this layer resolution. And I looked into different ways how to recreate this behavior. So basically, a first way would be to use a BSDF description of the 3D printed material, apply it to the component, and then retrieve a BSDF description for the full component. Easy and fast. The second way could be to actually model this 3D printed layer resolution, but then look at the geometry again as not as an entire component, but as an assembly of layers. And here I'm using layers in two different meanings, so 3D printed layer, but in this case I'm meaning the different surfaces, let's say. And so here the idea would be to use GenBSDF for the three different models and then bring them together in window with the metrics layer calculation. Then the final approach that I try, so here I wanted to say that it's actually not super straightforward to do it in window because the way I'm defining the glazing systems system in this case is only composed of shading layers with a BSDF, but you always need to provide also like a glass layer. So I'm using just a very thin dummy layer of glass, which would allow me to get rid of the effects. And then, yeah, the third, let's say, approach would combine the two previous ones. It's a little bit more abstract, but basically you use the BSDF material description for the three different layers. And so they all have their, let's say, pros and cons. For example, from the runtime and model generation point of view, approach one is really the best. But of course, if we also think about the possibility of including other aspects into the characterization of these facades, actually window is really nice because then you could really have a component description that you could use for building performance simulations, for example. So like, how do they compare to each other? You can see on the right side, looking at the total transmission versus incoming elevation angle, we still see this cutoff angle, although it's much reduced in the intensity of this drop. We see that normal transmission is around from 51 to around 60% compared to the nearly 90% of the single sheet that I showed at the beginning. And although the trend is similar, you can see that approach one kind of overestimate total transmission for both the orientations of the sample, whereas approach three, you can see that for high elevation angle, it's a little bit less agreeing with the other two. If we also look at the spatial distribution on the left, you can see from the CLEMS diagrams, approach two and three behave quite similar, whereas approach one, we can see like a more strong directional behavior, which probably is not the case. Also looking at how this sample look, they look pretty like diffusive. So of course, like this is all preliminary. They still can be greatly refined, but it was already like a good indication of what methods to use. Can we use all of them or what's the best? So I think from overall simulation point of view, using this window approach, it's kind of good because then I could also integrate other aspects of the performance. And as well, I would be able to smoothly transition to building energy simulations, for example. So in parallel, we also started looking into other performance metrics, and of course, sorry, gain coefficient, that's also a very important part. And the same way the optical transmission is angle dependent, we also expect the same behavior for the solid gain coefficient. So this was also a way to see, okay, can we validate a little bit the results that we have from the radiance plus window modeling, at least from the optical point of view. And so we did this in collaboration with URAC, where we sent them a prototype, and Giuseppe and his colleagues tested that in their G-value lab. And they did it for different coming light directions. And so you can see here the results. So I mean, it's difficult to compare just three experimental points with the simulation results. In this case, you're seeing what came out from approach two from window, and you can see here that for the right side, for this kind of orientation of the layers and also for the cavities, although the solid gain coefficient experimentally derived it's a little bit higher, it shows at least a similar trend in terms of decrease with elevation angle. Whereas on the left side, we're more off. we see like a steeper decrease, but at around 45 degrees, we are really off. So we're still trying to figure it out. And I hope we can also get some feedback on it by you guys. Yeah, I mean, there's many reasons this could be happening. Also, discrepancies between the experimental procedure and the way I simulated, but yeah, still work in progress on that. Yeah, of course, the other side of this is thermal performance, which we're also working on. And the challenge here is that for these geometries, and especially if we go more complex, there's a lot of models that are not really valid for studying the thermal performance of this component, especially the ones from facade standards. So what we did in another study was to measure the U-value of these components using calorimetric measurements. And then we used a simulation model comprising heat transfer, but also CFD. And we calibrated it with simulation, so with the experimental data. So we have a good understanding of what is happening in terms of conduction, but also convection in the cavities, radiation between the cavity walls, so the whole spectrum. There then came the question, how do we bring this part together also to the optical part? And for now, well, using a very simple approach, basically from the simulation model, I derive an effective thermal conductivity for each layer, and then I input it in the VSDF XML file as a description of the thermal conductivity. And then basically when Window uses this information to calculate the U value, you have a very true to reality representation because it comes from the very detailed model. And of course this applies also to the secondary heat flux that is relevant for the solar heat gain coefficient. Of course here the simplification is that the cavity, so the infill and the cavity around it are treated as solid. So we are missing this temperature dependence of this convective and radiative fluxes there. I've seen methods also from Andy and from Ingrid from URAC how to refine this, but yeah, I guess that's for the next step. Yeah, so basically I showed you mainly what I've been working on from material and component scale. And then, of course, the next part would be to bring all this information, angle-dependent or seasonal, sorry, gain coefficient and transmission, as well as the thermal parts to building scale simulations. Which brings me to the outlook and what I'm currently working on. So for sure, a validation and refinement of this simulation approach that I showed you. And at the same time, we're working on some building scale simulations of this 3D printed facade applied to a shoebox model. We're doing this for two different climates, for Singapore and Zurich. And we hope we can get a good understanding of how to use these results to inform the design strategies for these facades to get to very, very much site-specific facade designs. So yeah, I just wanted to close saying that this is a collaborative project at ETH, and everything that you've seen is in collaboration with other two chairs at ETH, where other two PhDs, Matthias and Ina, are working together with me. Thank you.